You're listening to Dismiss, an international school Suva podcast series.
Hello, and welcome to an episode of Dismissed. We are back with another series special, DNA TCK. I am here with two very special guests to talk about their third culture kid experience. For those of you who may be listening to this series for the first time, a TCK is a young person who spent any portion of their developmental years in a country other than the passport country or the home culture of their parents. I grew up as one, and the two gentlemen who are with me also did, so I will let them introduce themselves with their names and their passport countries and the countries they have spent time in, and we have got a big chunk of countries with this group, so let's hear from them now.
Hi, my name is Jordan Clinton. I'm in year 11. My passport country is the United States. All right, I'll name the countries I lived in. Jordan, namesake. Mauritania, then the U.S., Lebanon, Nepal, Fiji.
My name's Arthur. I'm in year 9, and I'm originally from France and England. I have lived in France, Kyrgyzstan, Kenya, Switzerland, and Fiji.
Let's just start with, what has been your experience as a third culture kid in your life, your young life, but having spent so much time in so many countries?
It's an interesting idea because, like, very few people understand or get it. It's one of those in-betweens. Like many people know, it's you don't feel like you belong to your host country, you don't feel like you belong to the country you live in. So it's a lot of listening. That's what I've learned, is that for the first 3 or 4 months, you don't need to talk that much. You just listen. You like wait until you understand the culture, and then you start like making some good friends. So, yeah, learn how to be pretty good at making friends, because when you move after 2 years, you kind of feel like they're gone unless you do something good about it. But yeah, that's kind of been most of my experience.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's never been particularly easy, because as soon as you arrive into a new country, you have to make new friends, and the ones that you had in the country you lived in before, or for at least for me, I lost contact with them. Mm. You lose all your friends that you had before, so you have to make new ones, but it's never always easy, because depending from where you come from, the school years are different. Mm. So some you start in December, others you start in September. So you arrive in all these friend groups already made, and joining them takes time, and it's not particularly easy. Then people never understand, because they say, so how is it in, for example, France, where I'm from, or England? And I tell them I've never actually lived in England. Mm. And so they're always very confused, and it's hard to explain.
Let's go back to Jordan, your comment about listening. Because the thing is, you move to a new place and you realize you know nothing. Sometimes you don't even know the actual like language. We're thankful here in Fiji, they do actually speak English. But some of the countries we've all lived in, we did not speak the mother tongue language. Yeah. So realizing in a way, right? Like I can't understand what's said to me. And how did you cultivate that mindfulness of, yeah, sometimes that's okay. And to be able to just listen and grow and take that time to be like, yeah, I'm clueless, but that's part of the experience.
The process is really hard, because when you go there, obviously you don't know the language, like you said. But like being in an international school is good for some things, because there are some people there that understand and they speak English, and then you start to listen to them. And then there's some that have been there so long that that's their culture. Mm-hmm. And you start to listen to them, and then you make connections, and then eventually you just kind of have to keep trying, because there's really no other way to do it.
So Arthur, talk more about, it is really hard saying goodbye. Our last kind of two-parter we did for DNA TCK was on leaving well, and what it's like to leave countries, leave friends, leave, in a way, family, because third culture kids, a lot of times we don't spend time with like our grandparents or our cousins because we're living abroad.
Yeah.
And so really, I think your friends, other international families become your extended family, and then you leave them behind. How do you kind of reconcile, okay, starting new friendships with the knowledge of losing and saying goodbye to other ones, and knowing some of them you hope that you'll reconnect, but it's not always guaranteed?
It's always a bit complicated because you arrive and then first you have to make these new relationships, and they can take time,
yes,
to really get close to them. And so by the time you've actually become close and like extremely close, you realize in less than a year you'll be leaving again.
Mm.
And so it sounds terrible, but I've gotten used to it in a way. And so leaving, it's not a new thing.
Right.
Leaving my friends, I'm just used to it now. It's like, I know I'll leave you at one point. So
right,
you just wait for it.
I have found with third culture kids, when it comes to making friends and establishing relationships, I've found that there's kind of two avenues. There's the avenue of, this relationship might only be for a short time, so I'm only letting it get to a certain level of depth with the knowledge that it'll probably be lost. But then I've also found there's sometimes where it's like, actually, I know I only have like there's a deadline to this relationship, so I'm gonna go so deep with this person and become like best friends because I don't know how long I'm gonna have and I wanna make the most of it. Do you guys find yourself kind of doing the same, or do you tend to kind of gravitate more toward one or the other when it comes to like building those friendships that you know there's probably a goodbye?
I'd say I use both sometimes, but I lean more towards the invest in everyone. Just when you're just moving around everywhere and stuff like that, it's not a big deal to leave them because, I mean, yeah, you'll lose some friendships for distance and stuff, but like you had fun while you had, so.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's not that you put all your effort into becoming very close, but it's that you don't really care at some point. So you just like, you act normally with them, and so you become friends, but you don't not share things or share a lot of things. You just, it's hard to explain. You just kind of relax with them and go with how whatever happens. Go
with, there's it, a freedom to it in a way, because you kind of get to decide.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah,
you kind of know the end. You get to choose, and there's a freedom to choose instead of maybe worrying about like, oh, how's this gonna go, or how long are we gonna be friends? It's like, oh, I'm gonna be friends with them now, and I'm gonna give what's there while it's there, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't personally think of leaving. Because I usually stay between 2 to maximum 5 years. And so you just go with it. And so you friends, and then around the last year, that's when you kind of think about leaving. But even then, I personally just never think about leaving. I just act normally and go with it. So I don't really talk about leaving much. It just happens.
These are obviously some of the side effects, right, of growing up internationally. Are there other challenges that you guys feel you've faced as a third culture kid that's very unique to your experience that not everyone understands?
Oh, you're so lucky. I get that all the time.
Same privilege.
So I have this church I go back to when I go to my hometown and sort of hometown. I meet some people that I used to know when I was like young kid, like third, fourth grade. And so they're all like, oh, wow, where'd you go this time? I was like, I was in Nepal. And then they're like, you're so lucky. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Just keep that face. But like, they don't understand like the moving and losing people. And they just see the good parts of it. And that's the problem. So it's all right. I just keep a good face. But
same thing here. It's whether it's in Fiji or in my home country. And I tell them, oh, I'm going to Fiji. They're all like, wow, you're so lucky. Resorts, white sand, sun all the time, beaches, and whatever you want, really. It's just a paradise. Well, when you arrive, you see what's not shown on pictures on Google and things.
Mm-hmm.
Things they don't realize. And so that can be a bit irritating when they just go up to you and be like, you're just living the life, doing whatever you want, always on holiday. and you just have to agree because you can't really say no since they've stayed in that particular country for so long.
Yeah, and if you try to explain it, they just have no context to associate it with.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Nepal was a good example because they're like, well, you live like 35 miles from Everest. And it was true. But like I was in Kathmandu where the pollution was horrible. Like my mom was getting asthma attacks and air was dry and traffic was like, it took an hour and a half to get home from school. But all they think about is the Himalayas. So,
right.
Yeah.
I kind of can relate to that because I spent most of my childhood growing up in Senegal, West Africa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Thing is, though, people hear Africa and they have this image of like what Africa is.
Yeah.
And it's not that the things that they see or they hear don't exist, but it's like, it's so much more than that, but it's hard to explain. And I remember, especially when I was like in middle school and we would go on furlough to the States or something, and trying to explain like the Africa of my experience and the Africa like in their mind was not the same. And yeah, I understand that, like, you kind of walk away from a conversation being like, well, that, I didn't say anything that was going through my mind, but I think they feel really good about that conversation and think that I'm awesome, but they don't know me at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, for example, I lived in Kenya, and so there, when I came back to my family, they all said the safaris and, like, all the beautiful things, and they know there's pollution there and there's a lot of poverty, but they don't realize it's a big thing, and that where you live, it's not the safaris and the beautiful animals and stuff. You actually live in a city and there's pollution, people in the streets, and it's not easy life for most people there.
Absolutely. Probably though, there is a time when we try and educate in a way. Would you guys feel like there are times where you do put in the effort to share a little bit? Maybe it's not everything, but just to give people more of a perspective?
It depends, because I used to. I used to do it when I was younger with, usually the younger kids actually do better understanding because they keep asking like quite more and more questions. And then they're also young. So like an ignorant question, like, do you speak African? Doesn't sound as bad from like a 5-year-old.
It's true. My personal favorite. Yeah. So what, did you like ride an elephant to school? What?
Yeah, there's all those crazy questions like that. Yeah, I know, exactly.
I used to share when I was smaller, as Jordan said.
Yeah.
But as I got older, I realized there wasn't much point because no matter what, they would ask the same question like a month later.
Oh.
I don't want to seem like the cocky person or the overprivileged person. So I usually just keep it to myself and say, oh yeah, I went somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when we talk about it like this, being like, oh, because I want to bring something and share something different. But one of the gifts of being a third culture kid is because of your experiences and because of what you've seen, you have so much more perspective. Like, my world is so much bigger than, you know, a single town, state, country, whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess that's one of the things, is it's very hard to share that if you haven't lived it. And even people who've like just traveled a lot, it's not the same as like living and, you know, really investing in another country and calling it home. And it's hard to, I guess, express, like, even as we're sitting here expressing to each other, we're like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't know how to say it out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
When you think about things that you're thankful for or things that have been a gift, what kind of things come to mind?
It's like, I'm thankful that you get a fresh idea of new, like, perspective from everyone. I don't have to not understand.
Yeah, I'd say I'm thankful for everything. You get to see what the rest of the world is like, and it's nice to know that you don't have the same stereotypes. But you also see a lot of stereotypes wherever you go. You realize this is actually something that exists. It's nice to be able to understand a lot more than what everyone else sees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is understanding. Enough to recognize where maybe those stereotypes and generalizations come from, but also not be able to hold to them so tightly and be like, no, like, this is part of how I see this place.
Yeah, exactly.
As you look to the future, do you guys see yourselves living internationally as adults, or do you kind of see yourself as, actually, I'd like to try and stay in one place and see what that's like too, and just travel?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I like the cultural differences. I like the experiences. They're fascinating, and I like experiencing new cultures. But I've never lived in one place for more than 6 years. U.S. was the longest, and then the rest have been 2 or 3. So, I'd say I'd probably give it a try once in my life at least. But I'd still like the international experience, so I'd keep doing it.
Until you get bored.
Yeah.
See how long you last.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's the exact same for me. Probably if I went to a uni or something, I'd stay in that place for that certain amount of time just to see what it's like. Because I've always liked the idea of staying in my home country because I've never lived there for more than 2 years, I think, maximum. And so the idea of like creating friends that you'd know for a very long time or being around family members for a long period of time is interesting. But then I've always liked traveling and seeing new countries. And so there's a bucket list of countries I'd like to go to.
Yeah, I think we all probably have bucket lists, right? Or I have places that I'm like, I really want to go back there.
Yes.
And that's the struggle. It's like, do I go back to somewhere I had a great time or do I go somewhere new? It's really hard to decide. I want to do both, actually, is what I want to do. So if you could give advice either to yourself, whether it be your younger self or your current self, on a day where being a third culture kid is hard, what sort of advice would you either give to that version of yourself or maybe to other third culture kids who are still feeling very isolated in their experience? And it is isolating sometimes to recognize there are so many people who will never truly know the fullness of you. What kind of advice would you want to give or would you think to give or maybe you have been given on those days?
I mean, you're not alone. All of us are doing it here. So every TCK probably goes through a similar experience, not belonging to both cultures.
Yeah, I agree. I think, as Jordan said earlier, listen, understand what people are like in that particular place, and then try and join them. So let's say they're very active and sporty. Just listen to that, understand what they're into, and then try and play those sports or join them in those activities. But it takes time, and so
patience. Yeah,
it does take time, and that's hard, especially when you know you have limited time. I don't want to spend so much time struggling or feeling lonely in this because I know I only have such time. But I'm glad you guys brought it back to that listening, because I think that is a really good place, whether that be relationships, whether that be transitioning to a new culture. Like recognizing, I do have all this experience and it's a beautiful thing and it helps enrich where I am now. But I don't know everything and there's always more to take on every new place that I've been to. So I think that that's really good advice. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Any final
thoughts while we finish up this episode?
Good luck, TCKs.
Yes.
We're here for you in a way. Because we'll probably see each other.
At some point. And you're not all alone. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think what I love about third culture kids is we can grow up in completely different countries, come from completely different passport countries. But there is a level of understanding where it's like, I may not have had the same experience as you, but I get you on a different level.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And I mean, that's part of what conversations like these are good for, is to be like, yeah, I get that. And it's hard, but it's good. I wouldn't trade it for anything personally, even with the loss and the grief and the struggle. And there is so much richness in the experience that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's also nice when you're able to all come together and discuss things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And thank you all for listening. This has been a very special episode of DNA TCK. We hope you will join us for our next episode. Bye.
Thank you.